Hey, welcome to How to Write a Novel. What I want to do today is a little music episode. So, basically, this is gonna be... I've been thinking a lot about... There's a fucking sentence, Jesus. So, if you've been following my fucking adventures, I had this idea last summer when I was traveling, where I got sick right before a flight, and I got stranded because I missed my connection in this Russian airport. And I was stuck there all night, and I was all sick and fucking fucked up. But it was actually super fun in the end. Like, I met other people that were stranded, and we cracked open some booze, and we ended up having a good time. And while I was there, there was this one girl in the airport who just kind of caught my eye, and I just had a lot of time to kill, especially early on, before I made friends with the other people there. Just some idle time, let my mind roll, and I was just thinking, like, how would that work, you know? Like, how would I approach a girl in the Russian airport, who's presumably Russian, and how would I convince her that I'm cool and that we should hang out? And I started having all these ideas for, like, a little meet-cute story. If you want the full details of that, the origin story, the episodes are called Moscow Meet-Cute and Moscow to Tokyo. So I've been thinking about that ever since, just picking away at it, having little ideas, jotting things down. And in specific, there's a bunch of music I've been thinking of. I've been really, I guess I've done these kind of episodes before. I have ideas pretty often that involve music and, like, envisioning scenes from a story as though they're a movie, even though such a thing is far outside my grasp. And, these are all going to be novels for now, because it's my principal thing that I want to do anyway, but also the thing you can just do by yourself. Getting the stroke to make a fucking movie, particularly that I write and direct, I have a weird sense that I could do it, but certainly no time soon. There's a lot of dominoes that gotta fall before that would happen. But this story I'm thinking of particularly like a movie. Like, more so like a movie than any of my other stories. This really should just be a movie. It's just gonna be a novel first, because that's what I got at my disposal. So I got a bunch of songs that make me think of scenes from this story. And I just thought it'd be kind of cool to go through them, but I'm not gonna do it quite like I've done before. In the past, I've done episodes like this where I really go through beat by beat, and, like, here is every little thing that I think, how every little moment in this song would correlate to a scene in a story. This one's not going to be like that. This one is much more generalized, of, like, I'll just kind of give you the rundown, give you the situation, give you the place in the story and the general sense of what's going on, and then play the song. So it's kind of more like my old podcast, Ham Radio, that is sitting lonely and abandoned on KeithCourage.com. This is what I always used to do, is I would just talk about some shit and play a song, but it was just kind of about nothing in particular, just whatever general shit was going on in my life. So this is going to be that same format, but more specifically focused on this story. So how this story is going to work is, in my case, you know, I was stuck overnight in the airport, and I eventually got shuttled off to a hotel, but it took until like 2 a.m. because the bureaucracy in Russia is fucking insane. So I'm going to switch it up a bit. In this case, it's going to be a similar start, but it won't be Russia specifically. I'll just make up a country name. And the dude will miss his flight, and basically he's going to see this girl at the airport, and the guy's going to miss his flight. But instead of a hotel, they're just going to put him in one of the little... There was little capsules that if there's just like one or two people, they just put them in the little sleep capsules that are like those sleep capsules in Tokyo. And I've seen them in Mexico City too. I haven't seen them, but I mean, they are there. But these ones are just in the middle of the Russian airport. Very creepy. But he's going to get tossed in that. And he's basically just going to get kind of infatuated with this girl at the airport, and his life is kind of, he's a weird traveler anyway, his life is kind of up in the air, and he's not really looking forward to going home. So he's kind of takes this opportunity to just not go home. instead of getting on his rebooked flight the next day, he just stays. And he's going to stay for a few days. And that's going to be what this story is about. But initially, he just arrives, he goes through the hustle and bustle of like this really crowded, huge airport, and it's really manic and crazy. Like, it really is way more, just people are a little like the flop sweat, you know, because it turns out it's because if you miss your flight, you're really fucked, and things are not well booked, so it's easy to miss your flight. So everyone is really way more chaotic than a normal airport. So that's going to be the vibe as this story opens. Except the guy, he's not really worried. He travels a lot. He's just whatever. You know, it's just easier to be kind of chill, to just not fight against what's happening. Just go with the flow and it'll probably all work out. It's probably not worth getting too upset about. And if he's the kind of guy that would just stay at a foreign airport for a week for no fucking reason, you know, he's obviously not too concerned about catching flights and things going wrong and just whatever. He's not trying to get anywhere, I guess, is the point. So around all this craziness, there's this guy who is just really not putting off that manic energy. He's way more just chilled out. But this opening, let's just talk about it exclusively like it was a movie, not as though it were a novel at all. Would not have a lot of dialogue or sound, maybe a little bit, like when the lady's explaining to him that he missed his flight. So basically he arrives, he gets out of his plane, he's in the airport, everyone's pushing, everyone's crazy, everything's all nuts. He overhears some shit about like the flight number, checking his flight number, he probably missed it. He has to go wait in a line to find out what's going on with his flight. And then the lady tells him like, yeah, you missed your flight, we're gonna have to put you up in a thing or whatever. Here, take this, scribble some shit on a little ticket or on his ticket or whatever. Go take this to this other place. They'll sort out what you're supposed to do. And he's just like, yep, okay, cool. And then at that point, I haven't explained what the song is yet, but I'll get to it. There's a part in this song, right in the middle of the song, where everything chills out. Do, 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 ba do ba da ba da ba ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba. When that part in the song hits, that's where we get like introduced to the girl that he decides to get all fucking interested in. Basically, while the lady is telling him about his missed flight and where he's got to go next, he notices this redheaded girl who just, again, if you go back to those old episodes, I explained it way better, but this vibe that this person exuded, I guess, also stood out from this airport, from the craziness of the airport and the staunch unfriendliness of Russianness. This girl seemed really cool and just awesome, and it's like, you know, a picture can tell a thousand words, so this would be the part when it plays this quiet part in the song where we just get like the slow-mo, the power shot, you know, just like the camera slowly panning across, you know, about 20 or 30 degrees around this girl. Just fill in the frame, just here she is. Soak it in, learn to love it. This is the person that this story is about. This is why we're doing this. And the guy is staring back at her. He's just like completely sort of entranced by this person. And she hasn't noticed him at all. She's just talking to someone else in the airport. But she's kind of laughing and like having a good time and like seems cooler than the other people in the airport. And then the song kicks in again and he funnels through the next crazy security check and into the airport proper. Into a bathroom with a no smoking sign that's filled with cigarette butts. And just the general dishevelment and wackiness of the Russian airport. Now this song, I really think the opening song in a movie, real important. When someone can nail it, it's fucking awesome. It's just like the coolest thing you can do. And I think of that quite a bit when I'm listening to music. Like I'll hear a song and I just think like, that's an opening of a movie song. But what would the movie be, you know? You gotta hit the right tone. That's one thing with a lot of these songs. They're not necessarily my favorite song by the given artist, but they're the right song for the situation, you know? They might be my second or third favorite song. They're obviously still favorites of mine, but you don't just go for like the best quote-unquote song or your favorite song every time. You gotta get the song that fits the situation, the song that's appropriate to the story you're trying to tell. And I was trying to figure out, like, what would be the song to match this vibe. I don't want the vibe of the airport. I don't want the crushing craziness. Like, that'll be visually evident, you know, where this place is. I need a song that demonstrates how the guy, how our protagonist, our main dude, I need a song that represents how that guy feels and what that guy's like. And I don't know how I came back across this song. I guess I was just listening to old stuff I had buried in some hard drive somewhere, or maybe I just thought of it. I might have just remembered it and just went back to it. But this one is the definition of fucking obscure. A song almost couldn't be more obscure than this. This is by far the most obscure song. It's gonna be on this little virtual soundtrack. But I respect soundtracks that make songs cool. You know, instead of trying to find cool songs and putting them on a soundtrack, because that just ages really quickly and it's just not as impressive to me. What I like is when somebody picks songs that are not super well known and makes them cool, you know? Like, that's what I want to do. That's what my soundtracks would be. And this is the fucking definition of that. So, this guy's name is Jonathan Mann, M-A-N-N. And I first heard of him because he used to do little reviews of video games in music form. And he started doing this thing. It's fucking crazy. It's the Song A Day Project, where without exaggeration, this is not a joke, he has written a song every day for the past 4,000 days. He was gonna do it for 1,000 days, and then he extended it to 2,000 days. And at this point, he's just gonna do it forever, because why not? He's already gotten the Guinness record for most consecutive days having written an original song. And some of them have hit pretty big. You know, he's had like little viral hits. Steve Jobs played one of his songs at like a Macworld thing. I think that's probably the most famous. But he gets all these opportunities and he's known for this. And like he's making a living at it. He's got a wife, he's got a couple kids. He's making a go of writing a song a day. Even though it's fucking crazy. Like, it really doesn't make sense to do this because it's just not enough time to even digest what he does. Like, I stayed up with him for not even that long, 3 or 4 months, about 8 years ago. You know, I kept up with his song a day for, I don't know, 100 songs at least. And like, I'd say probably 1 or 2 out of 10 is really good. Well, let's say even if it's 1 out of 10, that's like not an amazing percentage, but multiplied by how many songs he's done, that is a lot of good songs. This guy has a lot of good songs and a bunch of crap, but you know, he does a song a day. But it's so nuts, it's so crazy to do this. But as he explains and as he's kind of learned through the process of doing it, is like it just kind of forced him to divorce himself from expectation, you know? It's like he does a song and maybe it doesn't catch on. But there's no time to think about it and no time to care, because tomorrow he's doing a new song and you just get into like almost the zen of it. Just the purity of the endeavor. And now that he's beyond 4,000 days, I mean, I think he's kind of beyond reproach at this point. Like, he did it and he's gonna keep doing it. The experiment has succeeded, and yet the experiment will not end. It's just gonna keep going and going. Just a cool, weird thing. But because it's a song a day and it really is too much for people to really digest or to care about, like I said, I fell off. I listened to him for a little bit, right around 1,000. And then I check in on him like once in a while, and that's it. That's all I got in me. And that's all anybody else has got too. I mean, technically he's got a bunch of subscribers. His most popular songs have a lot of views, but the average song, just the whatever day after day song, has just under 300. His average songs don't break 300. He has about 270 people who will listen every single day, no matter what. So those are the forgotten songs. Those are the songs that nobody really noticed. They just blipped by, a few people heard them, and then on to the next day. And that's what this song is. This song, if I remember right, is song number 975, Live for the Mo, it's called. And I just happened to be keeping tabs on him at the time that this one came out. And I did an episode of that Ham Radio podcast about Jonathan Mann. I wish I could tell you what episode number it is, but my old website crashed, so all those fucking podcasts are just in a folder with no identifying information. One of these days, I'll fucking fix up that site just so I can at least have, like, I used to have the track listing of what songs I played on each episode, just in case. I was going to say in case somebody wanted to find them. Realistically, it's more like in case I want to find them again, in case I want to go back, see what I was thinking in 2011. But yeah, I did an episode of the podcast all about him, and just like in this span of a few months that I was listening to him, here's my favorite songs. And this was one of them. And just doing that, you know, kind of helps solidify it in my brain. And in this case, I mean, this might be my favorite song of his. I don't know. It's hard to say. He has some really good stuff. He did a Super Mario opera once that's really good. Or he did a song about River City Ransom. That's probably my favorite. But this song's way up there. It's really good. And yeah, like I said, it's got less than 300 views. Nobody knows this song. And it was like 8 years ago. Jonathan Mann probably doesn't remember this goddamn song. But I never forgot this song. And this is what I would open the movie with. It would be kind of like I like lo-fi stuff. Like in that Roger Swan documentary, I used a lot of like acoustic and ukulele covers of songs that people just did on YouTube. I like that sound. I like that style of just the lo-fi guy in his bedroom, girl in her bedroom playing a song. And sometimes, you know, that can be like a style for a movie. Not often, like the last time I can think of was like Juno, which was still like 10 years ago. But how the Juno soundtrack was, geez, more than 10 years ago now. But it had a lot of, I don't remember the name of that little musical movement, but like Kimya Dawson, her name was. Just that little like, you know, it's kind of twee, it's very lo-fi. Just a little fun, weird music, you know, that was its style. So maybe I'd be kind of doing that. It's like, this whole soundtrack isn't stuff like this, really just this song. But to kick off with this, like this is your opening salvo. This is the opening of the movie. And it's this weird YouTube song that nobody saw and nobody remembers. That's song 975 of 4,000, probably 5,000 by the time this movie would ever be made. But that's the opening I want for this fucking... this particular story. I just love the tone of this. It's like a kind of bouncy little like kind of fun song, but it's still got some lyrics that could apply to this weird airport where a lot of the lyrics are about the aspects of current life that are still like, you know, everything's all crazy and weird and different, but we're still basically just apes. We're just monkeys going through our day to day. And it is especially kind of rough because again, he did it in one day. Like, I might remaster it a little if I was making this into a soundtrack. Like, it has almost no low end. It could use some better bass. And there's a part where he does 1, 2, 3, 4, ascending. And the 4 is like, I mean, I can't do it either. It's like, 4? Higher than that. It's way out of his register. It sounds bad. But in, again, maybe that's funny. Maybe that's kind of cool. Maybe that's part of the charm. But yeah, I just think this song is so good. Such a good little tone piece to set us off on this guy's adventure through the airport. And then, yeah, like I said, the part in the middle where the song chills out, that's where we get introduced to the female protagonist of the story. And man, I can't believe how long I talked before the one song. That's only one song. I got like 6 songs here. But here, let's listen to it. Jonathan Mann, Live Just for the Mo, or Live for the Mo. Because the lyric is Living Just for the Moment, but the song is called Live for the Mo. Imagine the young man on his airport adventure, and I'll meet you back here after the song.
I was an ape just 100,000 years ago, doing things that apes always do. I was plucked from the plains of obscurity. My insecurity grew and grew. The dragon with 4 heads. 1, 2, 3,
lobby hole. They didn't tell me just what I was supposed to do, and so I languished on the end of telephones, all alone until they came in with the cleaning crew.
Seems to always hurt.
Man, this little squirrel chipmunk thing, I don't know what it is, I don't know anything, but it freaked out when I walked by. Like, it was hanging on the side of this tree and was just doing this like trilling, like right at me, just like angry, like, get out of here. And I was just thinking, like, bitch, what are you gonna do? you're the smaller than my hand, you know, unless you go straight for an eyeball, what are you gonna do? But since I clearly upset it walking through its territory, I had these cashews in my pocket, so I took out a bunch of cashews and then went up around the corner of this little trail. And I could see the little squirrel dude just chilling at the top of this tree, just waiting. And I was like, I'm gonna wait and see if he comes down and gets these cashews. And I waited and I waited. I mean, it was probably only like 10 minutes, but I was like, I'm not gonna make it. I cannot outweigh an animal. I'm 21st century schizoid man. Like, I can't do this. I fucking, fuck it. Oh, I took out my nail clippers. That's what it was. I just cut my nails and I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. Let's get going. But that was finally long enough for it to come down and grab the cashews. And I'm like, oh, cool. I did it. I watched paint dry long enough. Felt a little proud. Yeah, like I said, wasn't really that long, but that feels long. Feels long to me. So the next song, this isn't scene specific. I've got a couple of songs in this playlist that are just kind of about a general period in the story. And that could be a sign that, I think it is a sign that this is an area of the story that's a little underdeveloped, which is right at the start. Because really, this is where we got to get on board with this idea. Is this guy has a one-day layover in the airport, and he's seen this girl, that's all. He's seen her, he's immediately noticed her. This is based on the episode I did when I was in Moscow. Similar situation, I saw this girl, and she just stood out so much. I saw her a little longer than he does in the story, because this is where I was waiting to sort out what was going to happen to me that day. I was at a little kiosk and she was at the next kiosk over talking to her friend. But in both cases, it's really not very long. And it's like, the idea is this guy, he sees her briefly at this point, but he's going to see her again because I ended up getting shuttled off to a hotel very slowly. But I was kind of contained in a little area of the airport. Where in this guy's case, they're going to put him in one of the sleep capsules in the airport. So he's just got free reign of the airport all night. And he's going to see her again as he walks around. Still not a ton of time, but that's one of these things that it's like, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get this across. But I guess it's just like these small amounts of exposure to somebody can be enough for a guy. You know, I mean, I saw this girl one time in an airport, and I'm writing a whole story about her now. You know, it's months later, and I'm still like, oh yeah, I remember that girl. That can totally happen. Dudes are, I mean, I guess a good way to explain it is like the guys being visual thing, which is absolutely true. It's weird. It's like, so, you know, there's that thing of like, hey, you know, girls think about sex just as often as guys. I don't know that that's true, but maybe. Say it is. Let's say it is. It's still a wildly different situation, which I think is pretty evident just looking around the world. Any fucking city you go to, except this one, because like I've said before, it's not a real city. Any actual city you go to, strip clubs. Strip clubs all around the world. To this day, even in the age of the internet, you can go to gas stations and convenience stores and see porn mags. Guys are visually oriented. Whereas women are, I mean, look at the publishing industry, you know? It's all romance books of various levels of explicitness. Like I've heard people complain, it's kind of funny about like how, especially with the rise of self-publishing and stuff, that, like I've said before, when I almost got a job at a bookstore and they were telling me about how it's really romance that keeps the doors open. So it has always been this way, but it's even more so now. Is like, if you just want to go find a sci-fi book that does not have people's nipples getting hard, good fucking luck. You know, like that's the exception. That's the odd book out. The female version of porn magazines at every convenience store and strip clubs in every city is the publishing industry, is books. It's all romance stuff, man. It's like, it's a whole different. So yeah, maybe we're all thinking about sex the same amount and the same frequency, but it's a different process, a very different process happening. And one thing, if you're ever curious about this, I found this like ridiculously interesting. I thought this was so interesting. Is if you go on YouTube and just look for trans men, you know, women who are transitioning to become men, and they start taking testosterone shots and estrogen blockers. And one of the things that comes up over and over is like, whoa, I never expected it to be like this. I didn't know it was going to be like this. That now that my body is filled with testosterone, I can't take my eyes off of women. You know, I'm walking down the street and whoa. You know, and I just thought that was so interesting that it's like, yeah, man, we're crazy. Dudes are crazy. We're built to be crazy. If it's an ice age and there's only like 4,000 humans left alive on Earth, which it's been theorized that that did happen at one point, who's gonna trudge through the fucking ice age just to get laid? A guy is. We're fucking nuts. We're designed to be crazy. We're designed so no matter what, procreation's gonna happen. Babies are gonna happen. We're not in that situation anymore. We're in no danger anymore. But we're still wired in case we are. In case the apocalypse happens and there's only 4,000 of us left and we gotta trudge through the irradiated wasteland to get laid, we're gonna fucking do it. We're nuts. We're fucking nuts. I mean, who would cross the ocean on a boat when you don't really know what's over there and you don't know if you're gonna make it and you don't even understand necessarily that the earth is round? Who the fuck's gonna do that? Crazy ass, testosterone filled, fucking nutso dudes, that's who. So seeing a girl at the airport, and then in the case of this story, seeing the girl again and talking to her a little bit later on, that's enough for this character to be like, you know what? Fuck it. I am not going to take my flight tomorrow. Because basically the dude's been traveling, he's on his way home. He also just doesn't necessarily want to go home yet. He wants a reason to continue the adventure, you know, a reason to keep this fucking traveling going. And he's like, man, I really like this girl. I want to talk to her some more. I want to see her again. She works at the airport. If I just skip this flight, I can just stay at the airport. Who knows how long I can stay here? I guess we'll see. Let's find out. Eventually, I'll have to buy my own ticket to get out of here, and it's going to be expensive because it's not pre-booked. But fuck it, I'm going to do it. And as a dude, I just feel like that's easily understandable by other dudes, you know? Just that kind of, like, nonsense is easy to understand from a guy's perspective. Like, yeah, why not? I could see doing that. Fuck it. We're crazy, you know? We build skyscrapers, you know? Why? Why do we do these things? We fight big wars. We become boxers. We just do all kinds of stupid, dumb shit. So this is just some stupid, dumb shit. But it's still a point in the story that I don't have a lot of specific notes for. And I feel like it's gonna have to be, like, I'll have to be a little careful about it, because I want it to seem believable, you know? Like, I can say, oh yeah, this is fine, this is just, this makes sense to me. But again, who knows? I mean, maybe I'm just really in my own head. Maybe all this rambling I'm saying right now is, I mean, it could be the opposite of, like, instead of like, oh yeah, this guy's got the insight, this guy seems to know. Maybe I'm just revealing how much I don't know right now. Maybe I'm saying crazy nonsense that, like, other people don't feel this way, you know? Or like, that's not true, that's not how men and women are, that's not... But I really would, especially if you're a writer, I really do think it's worth doing a little research on transgender in both directions and just to see what happens when you change up testosterone for estrogen and estrogen for testosterone. Because you get the same thing on the other side. Trans women talk about, like, yeah, my sex drive is just not like it used to be. When I was a teenage boy, I was insane all the time. And sometimes they say, like, that they even miss it, you know? It's like, it just doesn't feel like that anymore. Things just don't have that insanity drive. And if that's all you've ever known and that's how you always used to be, it's a little strange to lose it. And then on the other side, yeah, like, to gain it, to be like, oh, now I understand. Now I understand why yoga pants are an issue, you know? It's like, yeah, we should just be able to wear whatever we want. Fuck off. And I agree, absolutely. But on the other hand, I also recognize that it's like, wow, you're just walking around dressed like a superhero. And a superhero is a naked person, you know? Like, a superhero costume is just a naked person just made a different color. Like, yeah, here's a naked person, but they're green colored, and that's their super fucking hero outfit. And it's like, now people are just walking around dressed like that. And it's like, if your body is ravaged with testosterone, that kind of messes up your day. It's like, what's going on right here? What's going on now? And it's obviously a complicated and contentious subject. Again, let me reiterate, I absolutely believe you should be able to wear whatever you want. Everyone should just leave you alone. But I do think it's also important to try to understand, you know, how things are from both sides. Because it's like when you get, like, crazy shit, like the Middle East, where it's like, everyone stay covered up. No one's allowed to show, no women are allowed to show skin, ever. You know, total insane bullshit. But it's like, where did that come from? You know, I feel like the seed of where that came from is the same feeling I have when I'm just like, I'm a little tired and I'm just kind of like, I'm not at my best. My defenses are just kind of low, my emotional defenses in general. And I see a functionally naked woman and I'm just like, oh man, it fucks up my head. It fucks up my brain. And the angel and the demon inside of me are like, right on, sister. That's fucking awesome that we're at this point. Equality is at this point where you're not being oppressed like you were in the past. You can wear yoga pants and people will leave you alone and it's fine. But on the other hand, man, you just fucked up my day. What the fuck? My brain is scrambled now. And like, it's unfortunate, but that's how dudes are. That's how we are. It's the truth. So it's basically, I think we're moving in the right direction, but it is difficult at the same time in ways that I just think, to wrap it back around, this is why I really don't believe, like, oh, you know, both genders are the same. We both think about sex the same amount. I just don't think so. I just really don't think so. So anyway, hopefully I haven't just offended everybody and made everyone upset. If I have, I'm willing to talk about it. You know? Don't have to drop the axe. It's all right. We can sort this out. We can work it out. But this dude is infatuated. He's infatuated with this girl just from the one day of meeting her a couple of times in the airport. Really just meeting her once, seeing her a couple of times. But I don't really have the specifics of the conversation. It's the kind of thing I'm going to have to sort of feel out as I write. I think it'll be easier once I get past this initial hump. Like, once the scenario is established of like, okay, this guy functionally now lives in the airport because he left his flight behind. He's just stranded there. He's just staying at the airport, but as long as security doesn't take any particular notice of this guy who's always in the airport, which they probably wouldn't, because even though it's a super harsh, rigid, Russian-style place, it's a huge fucking airport. And if we can establish that this girl kind of likes him enough, you know, likes the attention, likes talking to him, is willing to go along with this weirdness, then we're good. Then the story will progress more easily. I've got all kinds of notes for things they can talk about and what those sort of fledgling times at the start of a relationship are like. But getting past that first hurdle is going to be a little tough. But from the dude's perspective, that's where I'm coming from. That he's a young man. He's got cum up to his fucking eyeballs, and he's just nuts. Not particularly nuts, he's just a normal guy. But that's how we are, we're fucking nuts. And in my mind's eye, when I imagine, I mean, it's easy to imagine the girl because I saw her in real life. She's this red-headed Russian girl. But the dude, I definitely don't think of as me. I really, it's a little tough in some ways for me to write male characters. I feel like I've got a nice array in my mind of different female characters. For whatever reason, I find that like an easier thing to grasp onto. In a way, maybe with male characters, I think maybe it's sort of becoming clear from my ramblings here. I have a kind of a disrespect for dudes because I just understand us too well. I've been in this skin my whole life. I've had this experience. I've lived this life. It's a little hard for me, I guess, to see nuance in male characters in some ways, or to even really be sympathetic toward male characters. Because when you get deep down, when you get down deep enough, I know what's going on in the male brain. And it's not cool. It's fucked up. It's the Aztec warlord who sacrifices virgins. That's every guy, you know? So sometimes it's hard for me to sink my teeth into a male character because I'm like, who is this piece of shit? Fuck this guy. I know what you're really about, you douche. But in this case, just as like a little anchor to hang on to, I guess this has come up a few times where I base characters on pro wrestlers. But there's this guy, Sammy Guevara, who I think he's in his late 20s now. He's like 27 probably. And they call him the Spanish God because he is so built and he looks so good. And he does these vlogs on YouTube where he's like a little bit, I guess what I like about him is he's not like necessarily trying to be like, oh, I'm such a nice guy. He kind of wears on his sleeve that he's just kind of a natural douchebag a little bit. You know, it's kind of just that millennial YouTube Logan Paul type thing. Which I don't say necessarily in a bad way, because I kind of like Logan Paul too. Like, I kind of respect people that are a bit fucking asshole-ish, because it just feels more realistic to me. It's like, yeah, you're a more of a well-rounded person. You're not just putting up a front of like, look how great I am. It's like, nah, you know, I do some good stuff and I do some cool things, but I'm also a fucking psycho idiot moron. And I'm like, yeah, I can identify with that. That feels way more like the actual male experience to me. And that's kind of how this guy, Sammy Guevara, comes off to me too, is like, he's like such a hard worker, and he's just grinding along, and he's just like worked as an independent wrestler his whole life. And he's like, it's such a motivational story of like growing up, everybody thought his dream of being a wrestler was fucking stupid. They said he was too small. They said it was like just, what are the chances this is gonna happen? Everybody said, don't do this. This is a waste of your life. And he told everybody to go fuck themselves. And it took like, you know, a decade of grinding, but he finally made it. He's on AEW now. He's like Chris Jericho's protege. He finally is making it. And on the one hand, that is so cool and so impressive. But on the other hand, you're like, yeah, there's something about that guy though. He's a natural heel, you know? He just rubs people the wrong way. He's like willing to kind of get in your face, and he's willing to say the thing that's a little offensive, but he always says it with a laugh, you know? He's like this handsome, amiable guy who says the thing that kind of mildly offends people. And it's like, ah, what's happening? I don't know how I feel about this guy. That's who I think of for this character, is like, he's willing to step into this girl's life, basically. He's willing to cause ripples and cause chaos just because it's what he wants to do. He sees her, he likes her, he wants to talk to her, and it quickly escalates to like he wants to sweep her away, he wants to take her away from all this. On the one hand, it's kind of cool and romantic. On the other hand, what a fucking asshole. Like, is he really thinking about her at all? Or is he just trying to get what he wants? So that's the situation at this early part of the story. Man, this is going to be a really long podcast. It's only the second song. I think it's like six songs. So this song, it's this band, the Cinnamon Chasers, which how I found out about them is they did this music video, this was like 10 years ago, called Love Deluxe. And it's one of the best music videos I've ever seen. It is so fucking cool. Love Deluxe by the Cinnamon Chasers. I recommend it, totally. It's this little first-person little narrative. This guy runs away from home, kind of goes on a road trip, and he meets this girl. And you follow their little adventures till shit goes wrong. And then it rewinds. So basically, like, the first time, he's too passive. And then it rewinds in the second time, he's like an asshole. And then it rewinds in the third time, he really tries to do everything right. And you see the different outcomes each time, and it's so fucking cool. But this is not that song, because that's just an instrumental. But on that same album, there's a song called Wishing for the Fire. And I just feel like that would fit so well with this part of the story, where our male protagonist is trying to spark something up. He's trying to make an exciting situation happen. Because he's right at the end of his travel, and he's on his way home, and he's like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do then? The traveling's over, I'm back home. But what if I can make this happen? What if I can make this thing happen? Which, now that I think about it, I've definitely been in that situation. Of like, oh, geez, what's going on in my life? Spinning my wheels. But what if I make this thing happen? This crazy, ill-advised thing. Let's fucking cause chaos in everyone's life. Let's do it. Testosterone coming out of my fucking eyes. So that's the point we're at in this story. And yeah, this song is just about like wishing for the fire, you know, wanting something to happen, wanting to feel that excitement, wanting to take your kind of boring, mundane life and spark it up and make shit happen.
Now
All right, so this is going on pretty long, and I'm about halfway through, so let's just call this part one. I'll get to part two sometime in the future. Because I'm kind of like talking myself out of this. Like, I was just thinking this rambling I was just doing about the horribleness of men. So I was listening to a thing about Sigmund Freud, and I've always been a little... It's a little annoying when there's the one go-to that people bring up over and over and over. Freud's definitely one of those. Like, just because he was one of the first, maybe he was the first, I don't know, but to do psychotherapy or whatever, but it's way back in the day. And he just had all kinds of shit that made no sense and just all kinds of weird discredited crap. And it's like, it seems like, I don't know, you ever get that feeling like when dumb people are trying to sound smart, you know? I feel like Freud is one of those. Like, oh, I'll just bring up Freud or Carl Jung, the Jungian shadow. And like, shut up, dummy. Have some new ideas, man. Have some ideas of your own. Don't just fucking regurgitate all this shit. But that is not to say that there's nothing useful to get out of this old shit. And one thing I thought was really interesting is when Freud started fucking having little therapy sessions with people, he would oftentimes disregard the things that his women patients would tell him because it overwhelmingly involved sexual abuse. And he's just like, you know, it was like a smaller world back then, smaller communities. He knew a lot of these people, and he's just like, no, these people have to be lying. Like, there's no way. I know these men. These are good men. There's no way that this man touched you. There's no way that that man forced himself upon you. I know these men. These are good men. These women must be lying. And man, as if, come on, you know, like, dude. Men, we are like designed to be scum. We're designed to be terrible. Like the nicest, kindest, gentlest grandpa you could ever imagine meeting. If you put that guy in the right circumstances, he would fuck a corpse, man. He would do it. You know? Like, it's weird because, like, in general, I tend to kind of, I mean, I hang out with dudes more often, I get along with them kind of easier. I'm really not like opposed to males. I just know what they are. I know how they work. I know how they function. I know how they're built. I know what they're designed by evolution and Mother Nature to do and how they're designed to be. And it's fucked up. And the more I think about this shit, I'm like talking myself out of this story. I'm like, how? I really should have tried to finish the romance book I was writing when I was 20, because how can I do it now? How can I buy into this shit? How can I believe in this garbage? There's too much going on under the surface, you know? It's just too... You have to have such a shallow view of romance to fucking... to dive in and just accept it as like, hey, romance, that's a fun, cool thing to write about and to talk about and to think about and to hope for and to wish for. Because what does it really mean? Like, what is really happening here? Who's... What fucking desires and needs are being fulfilled here, or what am I trying to say here, like, what's the vacuum in these people that's trying to be filled up? I've said that before in this podcast, but that idea, that little platitude of like, you shouldn't be two halves becoming a whole, try to be two wholes coming together in blessed, joyous union. And it's like, yeah, okay, great. That sounds nice to put on a fridge magnet, but what are you fucking talking about? How? You're 10 million steps away from explaining how that's a thing. So I don't know. I was thinking about this story quite a bit while I was in Toronto, because I was doing that weird thing where I was just riding the subways every night and reading a lot of comic books. And I'd be reading these Japanese romance comics, and they would give me ideas for this story. But now that I'm not in those circumstances anymore, where I'm not, even when I ride transit in this town, you know, it doesn't take that long. The longest bus ride is not that long. So there's a lot less romance comic reading going on. And yeah, my mind is not in that mindset anymore. It's just in pure Cynicsville. And like I was saying, I kind of got my shit together enough so to keep writing my novel every day, and writing my novella every day, working on those two things. And the romance story was number three for a bit right now. I kind of started working on that, but I'm just kind of leaving that one on the back burner because I'm just like, I don't know, whatever. I'm not feeling it anymore. So yeah, I'll reconvene and do a part two to this sometime in the future when I find some spark of inspiration. I was thinking I might call the story that. I might call it Spark. I don't really have a good title for it. But that's gonna have to be a big part of this story, a big theme, is this is a spark. This is just some chemical craziness happening. And it doesn't make sense, and it's probably not a good idea. But on the other hand, fuck it. Like, what else is there? Is there really another alternative? What else are we gonna do in life? Like, we are what we are. We are these weird biological creatures. Maybe we should just go with it, man. Fuck it. Anyway, for now, that's plenty. So let's just end with, this was another song I had on my soundtrack, but not for anything specific. Again, it was just kind of another little mood piece, another little, like, just a really good song that I think would be cool if this were a movie. But because it's not specific, it's really just more like, hey, look how sweet the soundtrack is. Look how good my music taste is. That type of shit. Because this is a song, if I remember right, the way I heard this song is Stephen Merchant, you know, the dude who does a lot of stuff with Ricky Gervais. He had a radio show on BBC Six. Six Music. And in the like late 2000s, I found a place to download them and I was listening to them. So I heard a lot of British-y music that I hadn't known before. Like, for some reason, I always remember this band called Gene. The song was like, Be My Light, Be My Guide, something like that. I can't even remember how the song goes right off the top of my head. I just remember that song. And it's a perfect example of like, you know, England's quite small, but they have a huge music industry. Like, music is a big thing there. So there's a lot of one-hit wonder type bands in the UK that we never fucking heard of ever. And this is kind of one of those, because the dude's name is Wolfman. I don't really know who the fuck he is. Even his wiki page is like kind of hard to follow. He's just some weird songwriter guy who was never really affiliated with many bands in particular. And apparently he's not a very good live performer or very easy to work with. I don't know who the fuck he is. Just some guy who's known in British music circles. And he basically got his shit together just this one time. And he did this song where Pete Doherty sings the vocals. And it's called For Lovers. And man, it's a good song. Every time I hear this song, I like will forget about it. And then I'll stumble across it again. And I'm like, man, what a good song. Every time I'm like, holy fuck, that song's good. And it's like, if you're only gonna have your one song, your one kind of hit in your career, at least it can be a good one, you know? Like, at least it can be this fucking awesome. So let's just end with that. For Lovers by Wolfman and Pete Doherty. And I'll talk to you in the beautiful future. Adios.
I'm running away with you. That's all I ever do. And that's all we ever mean. I forgive you. Everything. Meet me at the railroad bar about 7 o'clock. We'll talk while the sun goes down. Watch the lovers leaving town. This is for lovers running away. Yesterday's news. Let's leave it all behind. rattling the key. But the key was mine. I keep a spare one every time. This is for lovers running away. This is for lovers running away. Just for two. Running on.